You might have noticed in the Mass already that I've been praying more slowly, and that's intentional. Slowing down the time between prayers, between some of the readings, as a way to enter into this really contemplative time of Advent. We pray together this Advent. We wait for the coming of the Messiah. We remember Israel's history. And we rejoice that we know the Lord Jesus, that he's already among us. This Advent, I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm going to attempt a homily series. Three homilies in a row that build on each other, that have a common theme. And at each weekend, there'll be this take-home reflection sheet, some of you may have grabbed it coming in on violet paper, with some questions for prayer, reflection, discussion for yourself, your family, some things for personal prayer, and a little summary of what the homily was about or what it was intended to be about. It doesn't always work out that way, you know? But some data for reflection back home. Now, the weird thing is that because of the schedule in Roseville, I'm not at every Mass every weekend. So what's up with that? Well, have no fear. If you want to check into one of the three homilies you missed, they're always on our website, and they're also on the podcast, the Father Mark Veglio podcast. Yes, it's a thing. It's a thing. This series is going to be called Expectations. Expectations, kind of a word for Advent. Advent means just the coming, or what are you expecting? What are you waiting for, right? Expectations. And the focus will be on Israel's history. You see, Israel had expectations of a Messiah. They were waiting for one to deliver them. What were they expecting? And what do we expect of a Messiah? How does Christ fulfill his expectations for Israel, and how does Christ fulfill them in us? You see, we have to know and treasure the story of the Jewish people because their story is our story. Their history is our history. And if we want to live out our story of being chosen and loved by God, we need to know the story of our ancestors in faith, our Jewish heritage. So that's what will be a lot of the theme of this series, Expectations. Now, I'd ask at this time if Luke could bring up to me a little device I have here. Anybody know what this is? What is this? It's a climbing harness. That's right. Climbing harness. I wear this when I rock climb. And this has a user manual that comes with it. And the user manual is in 30 languages, but mostly pictures, because they don't want you to get it wrong, okay? When you wear this harness, the company wants to make sure you wear it correctly, because if you don't, you might die. In fact, most of the little icons in the user guide for this harness have a skull and crossbones on it. If you don't do this, it will result in death. It could result in death. So when I wear this to climb, I want to be as secure as possible. And I've got to check a number of different security points to make sure that I'm safe and good to go. I've got to make sure that, first of all, this harness isn't ripped or frayed or damaged. I've got to make sure that when it's around my hips and my legs, that it is snug, it's secure. I've got to make sure that all these different buckles, which have lots of different mechanisms on them, that they're doubled back, that they are secure. I've got to make sure these carabiners are shut and screwed shut and locked. And all these points have to be secured so that when I climb up and I'm 40 feet above, I'm having a good time. And if I notice that when I'm 40 feet above the floor, I notice, oh shoot, I forgot to secure something with that belay rope going down to my friend, I'm going to go from being feeling secure to feeling shaken, shook up. Oh no, I'm not as safe as I thought. I better get down from here. I better be extra careful. I want to be secure in everything I do when I go climbing. So let's put this here for now. You know, I thought about actually putting this on as a live demonstration, but if I put it on over my vestments, I'm pretty sure I'd never take it off during Mass. It would be impossible to pull off once again. So count yourselves lucky for that extra minute you get out of this homily. That's the theme of this week's homily, shaken or secure? In your life right now, would you categorize your mood right now? Do you feel shaken up right now, or do you feel secure? Maybe somewhere in between. Do you feel like you're secured, buckled in, safe, snug? Or do you feel like you're kind of shaken up and there's things that are loose and rattling around? Where are you right now? Shaken or secure? The nation of Israel, God called to dwell in security. We heard in the first reading this beautiful line from the prophet Jeremiah. We heard that the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and Judah. In those days, in that time, I will raise up for David a just shoot. That's like a new sapling springing out of a tree you thought was dead. A new shoot is coming out of David. That's the Messiah, the son of David. He shall do what is right and just in the land. In those days, Judah shall be safe, and Jerusalem shall dwell secure. Safe and secure because of the Messiah. Jerusalem, the capital city, Judah, the whole province, the whole nation of Israel. God wants his people to be secure and not to be shook up. When God called Abraham, which the Eucharistic prayer often describes as our father in faith, God chose Abraham and gave him a promise. God said, leave your father's house, leave Haran, go to a new land, and I'll make of you a great nation, many descendants. In the Old Testament and today, having a family, having offspring, is a great kind of security. It's a safety net. It's a support in ways physical, emotional, spiritual. And hey, if you actually have as many people in your descendants to have a clan or a tribe, we do have some of those Corpus Christi. I'm like, hey, there goes the so-and-so tribe, you know? That's even more security. So God says, I'm going to make you a nation and give you this security. So Abraham has Isaac. Isaac has Jacob, the 12 sons of Jacob, the 12 sons of Israel. They become this nation, this people, that God is giving to them this land that he wants them to be secure in, dwelling in Jerusalem, Judah, securely. But we know that actually they're quickly shaken up. Abraham and his family have to fight many battles against their enemies, enemy oppressors, enemy nations. There's famine in the land. They have to go down to Egypt to find bread. And thanks be to God, Joseph is there to help them, but then they become enslaved for hundreds of years. Well, they're liberated. God makes a new covenant with them through Moses. They come back to the land. Ah, security. And in fact, in Deuteronomy, God promises this once again. This is what I want for you, my people. God says, after you have crossed the Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God is giving you as a heritage, he will give you rest from all your enemies round about, and you will live there in security. I want all his enemies to be gone. Even if there's just one single army around the corner, over the hill, you won't have peace. Now, they do have security for a while, but all throughout the history of Israel, they can never break free from these enemies. They've got the Canaanites to deal with, the Ammonites, the Philistines. Remember Goliath, he's a Philistine, the Amalekites, and then the kingdoms get larger. The Assyrians come, and they conquer Israel, the northern kingdom. Cause a lot of pain, a lot of death. And then when they're done, the Babylonians come, even a bigger kingdom, and they wipe Jerusalem almost off the map. They exile the people, they bring them into Babylon, modern-day Iraq, and they're slaves once again. But God still wants security for his chosen people. So he brings them back to the land. But I'll wait, the Persians come into power, the Greeks, Alexander the Great, and finally the biggest, baddest empire of the old world, the Old Testament, the Romans, occupying their land. Israel is constantly shaken up. They just cannot find that peace that they long for. But the Messiah would change all that. One of the Messiah's tasks, prophesied over and over again in the Old Testament, is that the Messiah would come and deliver Israel from all of her enemies. This will be your quiz question next week. One of the tasks of the Messiah was to deliver Israel from all of her enemies. Everyone threatening a knife at their back. And remember, the Messiah comes through David's line, and God says to David's prophet Samuel in about 1000 AD, he says, "I will assign a place for my people Israel. I will plant them to dwell there. They will never again be disturbed. Nor shall the wicked ever again oppress them as they did at the beginning." Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? All throughout the Old Testament, Israel is waiting for this Messiah. They're waiting that all these enemies that have enslaved them and hurt them and been against them for thousands of years, would be gone. Because they know and they believe God has favored us. God has promised us. God loves us. So where's the security, Lord? And this yearning they have is our yearning in Advent. It's our yearning for the Messiah. When God sent his Son, the Christ, into the world, he fulfilled every prophecy about him. The interesting thing, and we see this in the gospel, is that Jesus is often misunderstood because he goes way above and beyond what was expected. He takes it to the umpteenth level, not just what they thought. Because Jesus is a Messiah who, yes, one day will reign over all the nations in a visible, real, lasting kingdom. But he begins in a different way. He begins by getting to the root of insecurity, the root of being shaken up. And that is the greatest kingdom bigger than the Romans. That's the dominion of Satan and sin. I gave you some of those prophecies about how God would free Israel from her enemies, deliver them from their enemies. You know, from the prophets, the first, millennia BC and onward. There's one that goes way back even earlier. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3. What happens? Mankind falls through sin, is estranged from God, is shaken to the core. But just a handful of verses after we fell from God's grace, we hear this early prophecy. It's often called the proto-evangelium, the very first gospel in Genesis. God says, "I will put enmity between you," meaning the snake, the representative of evil and the devil, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." The Messiah will smash the head of the evil one, and all it can do is try and just nip at his heel. It can't do anything. There is a deliverance from truly the enemies of our human nature. The powers and principalities and authorities, not those who we see in this or that tyranny or despotism or political office. No, we're talking about the principalities and rulers over our souls. Slavery of the devil, who Jesus calls the prince of this world until he overcomes him. This is the deepest security we can have. To be freed from sin, and to be chosen and favored and loved by God, and made a light to the world. My invitation to all of us this Advent, and this is on those take-home sheets to stir you up your hearts, is where in your life right now do you feel insecure? Insecure about who you are? Unsure about God's love for you? Doubting that God has already chosen you and saved you and set you free? Do you hold in your memory of your mind and heart the truth that by your baptism you are already saved, already holy, already favored by God, divinely favored? by the work and merits of Jesus Christ on the cross. When Israel fell from the covenant they had with God, when they sinned, that's when they allowed their enemies to overcome them. God always promised them, if you trust in me, I will never allow your enemies to be stronger than you. But what was the problem? They kept on doubting and walking away and resisting. They oppressed the poor. They turned to their own egos. God says to us, you will be secure in me if you remember and do not forget how beloved you are, how chosen you are. Because, brothers and sisters, we are God's chosen people. We are called the new Israel. And not only for ourselves, but we're called to be a light for the nations, a light for the world, especially as we leave this church tonight. We hear another prophecy from Isaiah, and this is the final thing. That though the mountains fall away and the hills be shaken, God says, my love shall never fall away from you, nor my covenant of peace be shaken. My covenant, my promise to you will never be shaken, says the Lord, who has mercy upon you, who forgives you, who loves you. We are part of an unshakable kingdom. We are secure in God's love. Let us never forget it. The gospel tonight says, do not give in to carousing and drunkenness and anxieties of life and the traps of this world. Why? Because God has already overcome all your enemies. You've already been set free. Jesus is saying, don't give in to these things, not like to save yourself, but don't give in to these things because they aren't worthy of you. Your dignity is so much greater. Don't open the door to these enemies that I've already kicked out. Don't open the door. Be vigilant and watch. And trust and believe that you are chosen, that you are holy, that you are anointed, that you need not be shaken by any power in this world, because in God's love, in God's favor, as God's people, you can dwell secure.